morning. Welcome to Morning Cyber. My name is Justin Robinson from Rogue Security.
And I'm Joe Flower from CyberForce. How's everyone doing? You good?
I'm great. It's mosquito bite season, and so we're going right at the top of my ass, and it's...
Yeah. Well, Canada Day may as well have been Mosquito Day for us.
North America.
Oh, it was awful. Obviously, as I've mentioned before, I like just sitting, watching telly. Just having a nice little rest. And Katie prized me away from my Canada Day routine and said, let's go for a walk. Started walking and we fatefully forgot to put some mosquito spray on. So I looked down and I had a carpet of mosquitoes on my leg and not the normal pale skin I'm used to. So as you can imagine, I freaked out a little bit, and that's mosquito season. So that's the way it was. It was one of those times to turn around, curse Katie, run back to the house in a strop like I was a four-year-old, and sit on the bed and cross my arms. So yeah, that was my Canada Day. How was your Canada Day?
That was good. I didn't do a ton. Yeah, I just relaxed. I went, visited my mom. I visited my girlfriend's kids and her mom and spent a little time with them. I built some Legos, which was fun.
Always fun.
But I really didn't do much. There wasn't really much going on to do either.
No, I think with everything that's going on, lots of the celebrations have probably cut short a little bit. But, I mean... there was still enough going on, that's for sure. I mean, I heard lots of fireworks going off every so often, so that's always a good way to celebrate. But that's the way it is, Canada Day. So what are your kind of feelings about Canada Day? Do you enjoy it? What do you feel like? Is it a good thing?
I mean, I enjoy Canada Day. I use it as an opportunity to see my friends, see my family, get outside, have some barbecue. And I think that's what it's about. More so family, friends, as anything else. For me, anyway.
I agree. No, I completely agree. I think since moving over here, Canada Day is more a time of getting together, enjoying each other's presence, and just shooting the shit, really. It's the best way to describe it. Yeah, so I mean, lots of things have been happening. Lots of things have been happening. I got a dad joke of the day. TikTok was banned in India. Only a matter of time.
Oh wow!
That's big.
That's a pretty large population. You suddenly get completely removed from your sales cycle.
Huge, and especially because it's an incredible app. I personally have never downloaded it because I struggle with the idea of videoing myself, hence why I'm involved in the podcast. I don't need to video myself, but I feel as though it's going to be a massive hit to the industry of social media apps in general, not just because of it being taken off the market in India, but purely because there's lots of people that make money out of it in another sense. So you've got these so-called influencers, like you have the ones on Vine. TikTok was a new Vine. So I think people are kind of coming together around it. So it's quite I like the videos that are made on it. I find them, it's good comic relief, but what's happened has happened for a reason. So do you, Justin, feel as though this is a fueling of the fire by the Indian government, or is it just a case of it was security hazard?
Well, India is not the first government who's come out and publicly, blocked technology. You just have to look at the United States and Huawei, all of their networking equipment for their 5G implementation, right? I think you're going to see more governments doing this, especially anything coming out of China, anything coming out of Russia. Most of those countries build their own applications for their own internal people. And so, yeah, they're chock full of like backdoors and interesting things.
I think it's very tricky for these companies. I know there is one organization. I have to find out who they are again, just to refresh my memory. But I've learned about them over the last couple of months. And what they do is they basically post an advert on their website saying that they're looking for this specific job title, whether it be a software engineer, senior QA, right the way through to a pen tester, or even into the IT support on a networking individual with Cisco background. What they do is they just post it. They've been remote working for the last 8 years. Okay. So as a company, so what they do is they say, this is what we're looking for. You plug in your information, and wherever you live depends on what kind of salary we're going to give you. And you stay there and you work remote. Now, this is an incredible way of getting a workforce, because number one, remote working was like a bit of a diamond in the rough kind of thing before this is a pandemic, and before companies realized, like Twitter, that you can work from home regardless. You don't have to be in that office environment. But this company did it a long time ago. You get paid what your area dictates. I'm pretty sure it's a Canadian company. So what we've got to kind of look at here is this social media company just going the way in which this company is, in a more brash way, and doing it to their existing employees, and maybe they shouldn't, and maybe they should do it with new employees, or are they just getting it completely wrong?
I definitely don't agree with forcing your employees to move to a cheaper area just because they're working remote now and they can. I think even in the U.S. Constitution, it says something about like being able to freely travel and live wherever you want. I know in Canada, we have that in our Charter of Civil Rights. So I find that very interesting that they would, and it's probably like an encouraging, like we're encouraging you to do this. But it does make sense. And like, what you have to think of there too is that there's like a cost of living adjustment there too. Typically the higher pay rates are going to be in the higher cost of living areas. But I think as individuals, we live in areas that we want to live in, that we're comfortable to live in, and blackmailing us with our jobs just to save a dollar because you can make it work. I don't believe that's right at all. And we're going to see more of this, I think, because people are moving more remote. You're going to see it with the social media companies are already talking about doing it more. And I think there's going to be a few companies that are just going to start to dictate like the proper way to do it. And so I'm excited to start seeing companies who are starting to talk about in a very positive way, as opposed to what we're talking about right now, which is why would you do it that way when you had an opportunity to do it right the first time and do it right and be an example in the industry. But you're trying to get what you want and then lowball your employees basically. Do you want to, continue, you want to take advantage of them, their skill, but because now they can do it from wherever, you want them to move to a place where they don't have to pay as much. Yeah. So when you frame it like that, doesn't sound good. Very, very good at all.
No, it sounds absolutely awful. And I think we have to realize that, yes, your employer is your employer and they pay you, but what is loyalty? Yes, you're very loyal to your employer, but are they loyal to you? So just always make sure that that's in the back of your mind as a candidate, because there is always someone else that will pay you more, but money doesn't mean everything. And I think that that's quite a poignant statement, because right now in the market, there's a lot of candidates who don't care about what they're being paid. It's about what comes with it. Will they get that extra? Maybe they get Fridays off, spend it with their family, or maybe they get their certifications paid for. Money really isn't everything, especially if you live somewhere where it's cheap to live and you're doing a job where you get paid a bit more. So it's really not important. So that's a whole topic that we can, I think we'll have to go into that as well. That's for sure.
That would be very interesting. And I'm sure it would be very interesting to, because I mean, what you're kind of talking about is like those little pockets of, you know, really inexpensive places to put roles, right? And I know we know a few of those pockets just from the work that we do, but I'd be curious to find out where those pockets exist in other parts of the world that just have, you know, an increased cyber talent or technology talent that's, you know, being underutilized. Because, you know, like we live in a region where, you know, we have a very high number of technical individuals and skill sets in cyber, and it's just we're filling roles outside of the region, right, because of the influx. So it's very interesting, and I think it's areas like that that are going to help build our industry.
So what have you seen this week? Has there been anything particular that's kind of stuck out to you since Monday, whether it's cyber related, IT related, or just you related?
It's actually reading today. One of the big, so what I like to do is just kind of look around and see what industries are being impacted. And one of the big impacts from a cyber perspective is in like the construction and trades. I wanted to know more. I just read an article about it and I wanted to find out why. So interestingly enough, it looks like with, you know, the advent of technology and all of the increases in efficiencies that we've come up with and how we build buildings and plumbing and electrical and, you know, even architecture, and all of that intellectual property is worth something. All of that information is worth something. All of that, how did they measure this in what way? I was a little surprised to see that industry specifically was really among, like, even like along the same lines as financial services and medical organizations.
You know, I think on a large scale, like you've got your huge corporations. I mean, I used to work with quite a few of them. So I was working in, I did recruitment. This is a funny twist. So I did recruitment in the building surveying and quantity surveying sector. Great fun. Really enjoyed it. Only did it for a couple of months because I ended up moving back here to Canada, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Met with some amazing people. And yes, on the large scale, they are really cyber conscious. I'll be brutally honest. That's in the kind of like European market. I don't know much about the North American, never worked with them. But these people had cybersecurity staff on site working with their project managers to make sure they're keeping everything safe. But I think one key market that we need to look at is in England, it's described, it's a horrible, I don't think it's a horrible term. It's like the white van man. All right, geezer. I don't think that's the thing that you have here. Like,
well, that's a lot different in North America.
No, I mean, like, you have like the I suppose it's different because half the year is shut down here because of bloody snow and ice. But I mean, like, you've got tradesmen working year long in England. They own a white van. They get all their bricks, all their mortar, all their tools into the back of that van, and they travel to people's houses. And their cell number, mobile number is written on the side of it. So the issue that we've got is the personal security of these guys and girls and thems and theys and however you want to say it. I don't want to be that person. I need to be very, very careful. How we as kind of like a small business manage our cybersecurity. Like you're best to talk to about this, because yes, we're talking about large scale construction, but what about these smaller companies who maybe service two or three people a month, who have their card details, have everything about them, and maybe just keep it on a piece of paper in their van, or they keep it on their phone, or they keep it on their home computer that they haven't updated because they bought it in 1992 and it still runs when they hit it a couple of times. What did they do? I mean, obviously Rogue Security's got some answers, but what do they do?
You know what? It's always a challenge for small, especially small and medium-sized businesses, because it's a way more of a risk decision. You know, money is way more important than an enterprise paying for security. And so you don't want to be focusing on security day to day as a small business. You can't be responding to alerts. You can't hire someone to be dedicated full-time as a security professional.
Yeah.
So the way that you protect yourself as an organization like that is that you utilize your relationships and your partnerships, and you build your processes with security in mind from the very beginning. You can actually work with various people other than Rogue Security, but we do that as well. And we help kind of build the strategy, right? So that, like, even a sole proprietor who literally cannot do anything but their business, mm-hmm. right? They can't deal with security. But as a dietitian, for instance, you have a lot of actual mm-hmm. health information, which is treated a lot differently from a compliance perspective. So what do you do as a sole proprietor of a diet and nutrition company? Well, you make sure that your systems are in place from the very beginning. You bring in the person in the very beginning, make sure that's in place. Then you can operate mm-hmm. your business from the very beginning with security in mind and not have to worry about going back. And that way, you only need to really have it reviewed ongoing, as opposed to somebody there every day operating okay. and managing your security, right? You don't need that as a small company. You don't need the daily logging and stuff with
some large organizations. Of course.
But you still need to protect your clients' data, that public health information. So,
yeah, I get that. I mean,
private health information, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the cost, but how much does it really cost versus the reward? I mean, I keep on bringing it back to what you should look at it as, not what it is, okay? So your personal cybersecurity, your phone, it's the whole IoT, the whole internet things. I mean, you've got your phone, your laptop, even your Fitbit, right? All of these different things track you in some way. They all hold different bits of information upon yourself. Now, think of that as your house. Lots of people have security alarms, all that kind of stuff in their house, and they're paying a fee every so often for that. They pay the install fee, and then they pay a monthly fee to make sure they have someone coming to help them out. Now, with that being said, how much does it truly cost, Justin? How much does it truly cost for you? I'm not saying you particularly. I mean, there's, as you said, lots of companies out there. But how much would it cost for someone like yourself to manage another person's cybersecurity for a year? Would they pay one fee up front? Because I can guarantee you it would cost probably, in my opinion, around $20 to $30 a month.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question, Joe. And it really depends, right? I think most... And I'm really thinking about this from like a virtual CISO, like security professional, security consulting. Most are willing to work with the organizations to figure out what's going to work best for what they're willing to pay for. What I will say this is that same article that I was reading about, talking about construction, cost of construction and cyber attacks, there was something, I think the number was around $200,000 is what the cost the average cyber attack was costing construction organizations. So, I mean, if you think about that, you know, $200,000 to recover from a cyber attack while you still have to run a company, or, you know, anywhere from $10,000 to $40,000 a year for a security professional to ensure that that doesn't happen, or at least provide some type of mitigation, even if it's not, you know, 100%, because we can never be 100%. That's just not feasible.
No, you can never be 100%. Never be 100% safe. And that's That's why crime in general has gone on for years and years and years. You're never going to be safe. So I told you about a text message that I got. No. Someone from Cornell University told me that my cell number had won $1 million USD. And contact someone with Netcom as an email address. I automatically said no, but I mean, Cornell is a university, is it not? Yeah, I remember the only reason I know that is from The Office. Andy went to Cornell. Yeah, that's exactly it. So, I mean, that's my funny story, but something that you need to be wary of. I can tell you for a fact, no one's going to text you from Cornell University to tell you that you've won $1 million. What's been going on for that?
Oh, softball started again this week. So I'm like, I'm super sore right now. Barely able to sit here. My back's killing me. But I'm happy that I'm able to get out and play some sports again. Yeah, I'm going camping. Probably gonna have a few drinks, do some other stuff that's legal in Canada. And sit around the campfire, but just spend some time with family and friends. I hope the weather's gonna be nice. I'm a kite fanatic. I love flying kites. So I'm really hoping the weather is gonna be good enough so that I can fly a kite. When somebody tells me to go fly a kite, I'll actually do it.
If I was to say something exciting from this week, I've got my favorite football team, or soccer if you will, playing tomorrow in the League One playoffs, Portsmouth Football Club. AKA the Blues, Pompey, Blue Army. But I'll be taking half a day tomorrow to watch them. Kickoff's at 5:30 British time, so that's GMT. Actually, no, I don't know if it's BST still, British Summer Time. It doesn't matter, but they're playing tomorrow. So if anyone wants to tune in, you can go on Sky Sports and watch them live. I'll be watching them. So that's my fun thing for the week, and I feel as though my weekend really does depend upon how that goes, to be honest, whether I'll be sulking ahead of the next game or going out and enjoying my time.
Is there any place around here that puts the football games on? Or?
Yeah, there's a free promotion. There's a pub called the Church Alarms in Charlottetown. They typically put it on, but Portsmouth, to be honest with you, are lower league, as brutal as that sounds. But you made me say it, they're lower league. So I don't know if they appreciate it as much as I do. They probably watch all the football where the players get paid about 250 grand a week and it's not real football.
When you told me how much the League One guys need, that's insane.
Yeah, well... I'm just gonna give up
cybersecurity. I'm gonna learn to be a footballer. It's mostly just like slick back hair.
Well, slick back hair. Well, no, actually, let's be brutally honest. It is quite a tough thing to. People will look at it and say it's not that tough, but I mean, you only have a career for up until you're 31 maybe, and then you've got to really make something after it. So it's quite a difficult thing to do, in my opinion. So salary wise, if they get into a career at that point at like 18, 19, their salary is prorated down. Best way to put it, prorated down to the time frame that they're actually playing, and then they've got to try and make something of it afterwards. So people say, well, it's a ridiculous amount of money. But we're talking Championship, League One, League Two. I think it's maybe not Championship, League One, League Two is fair to cover the rest of their life.
As a football fan, do you believe that they probably have a longer career if they didn't dive as much?
As a hockey fan, well, hockey players are absolute brutes. I think for me, they don't dive too much. It's a fan sport. Let's put it that way. They're there to be watched. So it's entertainment value as well. It's nowhere near like WWE where they fake everything. But if you can win a penalty in the area and you're losing 1-0 and it's a playoff game, of course you're going to go down. It's the rules of the game. But for me personally, I wouldn't. That's why I probably didn't become a footballer, because I act out on things that I probably shouldn't. But
exactly why I stopped playing hockey. Couldn't control myself.
Yeah, I mean, we're sat here podcasting, doing what we do, and we could have been there naming lights. You at the, what do you call it, the Maple Leaf Stadium?
Whoa. I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan.
So where are they?
Very, very important.
Right, okay, so you'll be playing there. I'll be playing at Fratton Park. But no, the point is footballers get paid a certain amount of money. I love watching football. Football's great fun to play. All you need is a couple of t-shirts on the ground to make it look like there's a goal and just kick it.
Oh yeah.
Apart from hockey, you need ice. Mm-hmm. You need a stick. You need a puck. You need a ball, a tennis ball if it's summer hockey. You
played. Play a lot of ball hockey.
So weekend plans ahead of Monday. I think I know who we've got on Monday. We need to just finalize some stuff, but we'll see how that goes. I know that you're quite excited.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. Probably a little more technical than we would normally have, but I think it'll be very relatable in terms of, you know, very similar to what we always do on our podcasts, talk about how it's actually relating back to the day to day of just being a human being, trying to survive in this new
life. I think the reason that I've kind of, I've always wanted to get this person on. I've spoken to them quite a few different times, and they hold something more than just cybersecurity. It's their experience to get into cybersecurity that I think people really need to listen to, and their outlook on what cybersecurity is. That's a convoluted way of saying it's going to be incredibly cool, but we'll have to wait and see. So thank you very much for your time. I've been Joe Flower.
Justin
this
Robinson.
Has been, and you've been listening to Morning Cyber. Speak
Don't
to
forget to like us and follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram,
Facebook. Oh yeah, here he goes. Plug in everything.
Social media contest where you can win some swag. So check that out, and we will be speaking to you on Monday.
Yeah.